So Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. But he also lives that. So many times it says Jesus left everything. People are even like tugging on his shirt, begging for attention, and he leaves them, and he does it himself. That's what he lives out. But when Jesus gives his disciples words to pray, here's what we looked at last week. He starts by saying, pray this way, and you know these words, our Father who art in heaven. Say, you know it, right? Say it with me. Our Father who art. Good, you were here last week, or you just know it. We looked at that last week. Our Father, statement of great faith of our good and gracious Father. That's the who. Who are we praying to? Our Father that would send his Son, one and only Son, to reclaim us, to die, live, die, and rise, to reclaim us back to our good and gracious Father. That's who we pray to. That's the who, our Father. We also talked about where, our Father who art in heaven. There is a throne somewhere in this universe, and it's not empty. God is on it. Many of us, when we do our own thing, do want my will, not thy will, we live as though the throne is empty or God's not there or God's not on it, when the first line of the Lord's Prayer says, our Father, our good, gracious, loving Father that would do anything to reclaim us back. And where is he? Our good and gracious Father who art in heaven. That is, he is on the throne reigning and ruling the universe. That's what we talked about last week. The prayer goes on though, right? Holy or hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, and then today what we're talking about, thy will be done on as it is, wherever that may be, that God is reigning completely in God's presence, in God's throne room, whatever God's will is perfectly there, that's what we want here. And Jesus says, pray that God's will comes true. Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, pray that God's will comes true. And so what we spoke in the small catechism, faith teaching tool, what does this mean? It means the good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray that it would be done among us also. Read that. It kind of says two things at the same time. The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray that it might happen among us, be done among us also. It kind of says two things. It's going to happen, but we want it to happen among us in our lives as well. I think that's a big picture and a little picture kind of talk. Big picture, that is, God's will is going to happen. God will have God's way in the world because Jesus lived, died, rose, ascended, and is reigning. God's ultimate will come true. When Jesus returns, every evil will be absolutely undone. Every sadness will turn to joy. Every injustice will turn to justice. Every disease will disappear. Every tear will be wiped away, as Revelation tells us. Those who are in Christ will be raised to new life in perfect bodies in a perfect world. Every hurt or pain that you've experienced will somehow be turned into joy. That is what is coming, and you can't stop it because God's will cannot be stopped. The good and gracious will of God will be done, is done, even if we don't pray a syllable about it. That's what's happening. That's going to happen. Now, there's a smaller picture of how we live our lives each and every day, right? You have small choices every day. You can choose to act in a godly way or not in certain situations. You can choose to do God's will or not do God's will. People, you and me, on a daily basis, know that we can choose good or choose evil, and we do. That's why we confess our sins every time we come in. It's to say, God, forgive me. I know I have the capacity to do great good and also do great evil. You can obey the Ten Commandments, that is, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, or you can blatantly love yourself more than you love your neighbor. But what better thing in your daily life could there be than to ask for God's will to be done, right? With large decisions, small decisions, say, God, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And Jesus tells his disciples to pray and to pray and to pray. There's one time in Luke 18, he says, Jesus told his disciples this parable, and the point of it was to show them that they should always pray and never give up. And then he tells them a parable. That's Luke 18. So Jesus is saying, pray, pray, pray. but also say, thy will be done. So some of you that have had me for confirmation, ooh, you're right in the front row. I could quiz you, Christopher. Will know that when we talk about prayer, I teach it this way. I won't quiz you, by the way. You don't have to get nervous. But a few different ways to structure our prayers. One way is to take the letters, P-R-A-Y, and make an acronym, make a word out of each of them, and they can structure your prayers. Have you done that before? Yeah. P, do you remember what it means? I won't ask you. Praise. So take, you can just put P-R-A-Y and write it, note takers or whatever. Praise. I can praise God today. God is always worthy of being praised. If you could think through the minutes and hours you've been awake before you got to this point today, there are probably things that you can thank and praise God for, right? The church that we were a part of in St. Louis, it had roughly about 2.5 to 3 sermons per Sunday. So you're welcome. And the first of those, which was kind of a recurring sermon, was somewhere during the first few songs, the pastor would grab the microphone and say, if you got out of bed this morning, if you woke up, you have something to thank God for. And then he'd say, if you like got your feet on the ground this morning, you have something to thank God for. If you got ready and got yourself into these chairs or these pews, you have another thing to thank God for this morning. If you were able to transport yourself here or even eat food by the time you have things to thank and praise God for. And this sermon kind of went on almost every week, and after a while, it's like, oh, that gets in your head. And suddenly, when I want to wake up and be grumbly, you go, oh, I'm standing, I'm vertical, I ate breakfast. Wow, praise God. When we come into God's presence in prayer, we praise God. So P, praise. R, P-R, we've already done it. As we confessed our sins, we repent. Say, God, I will always put myself in the center and you on the outside. I will do that. I have done that. That's why we come into God's presence and we repent. There are plenty of things. We say things I know of, things I don't know of. So we praise God and then we repent. So praise, repent. And then finally we get to the third thing, which is usually what most of us do most of the times when we pray. We say, God, there are many things that I need and want to pray for. A is when we ask. Praise, repent, ask. And it helps me to not to get to that till third, because then I've already said, okay, God, you're the one on the throne. It's not me. Praise you for, thank you for everything you've given me. I'm sorry where I've fallen short and where you've forgiven me and lavished your grace on me over and over again. And then finally get to ask. And that's usually where we have a big list, right? Because that's where we live life. Say, hey, God, I need this. This person needs you. This help them. Help this community. Help, you know, people in Florida and Texas. God, ask. So we praise, we repent, we ask, P-R-A-Y, and then we get to the why, and it's thy will be done. That's the big yellow sign that when you're driving and you're about to careen through, you know, some of those intersections in Holland that one side doesn't have to stop and the other side does stop. What's the triangle sign that's red with yield? Praise, repent, ask, and then we say, God, you are God. I am your child that you have bought with your blood. I will yield. Thy will be done. So praise, repent, ask, yield. God, I really want this job. Help me put the best resume together and do my absolute best in the interview. Help me to use my skills that you've given me. God, I really want this, but thy will be done. Or God, hey, I really like this person. I want to marry them. They seem perfect in every way. God, you know, please make them love me as much as I love them. I want this to happen, but thy will be done. We ask. We praise, repent, we ask, and then we say, God, your will be done. Some of you have prayed this. God, my parents are aging and ailing, and I'm not sure how to best care for them. I think they can no longer be in their house, but God, well, you know how that conversation goes. I think I'm going to have to talk to them about moving somewhere, but I'm not sure. God, help me. Thy will be done. Or others of you have said, God, there's too much poverty in our country and in our city. I'm not sure what to do, but I want to do something. Should I give my stuff away? Should I move into a different part of town? Should I start a company that would hire people in need? Should I make food and give it to people? God, I don't know what to do, but I do know that your kingdom coming means that I care for people. Help me. Thy will be done. Or we as a church say, God, you have been faithful to us for over 125 years at Zion, and we know you hold the future as you have the past. God, we're not sure what the future looks like, but you will guide us, you will direct us, you will lead us. Thy will be done. When we say those or pray those four bold words, what we're doing is the ultimate surrender to God. We are saying, God, I will take my hands off the steering wheel of my life and let you take over. Your will be done. Last week, we talked about our Father. We can trust our Father, who is good and gracious and loving. And today we say, thy will be done. Now, if you look through the rest of Jesus' life, he didn't just say to his disciples, hey, pray this. Jesus, you can actually find in the Gospels where Jesus himself actually prayed those words and then lived those words out. Many times you say, okay, you know, do you want to know if people are living what they're saying? You actually see in the Gospels Jesus praying this prayer. Where does he do it? So Jesus had celebrated the Passover, the Lord's Supper, with his disciples, and then he goes to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And Luke 22 tells us about it, and he says he prays in agony. He kneels down and he cries out saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. And Luke tells us that his sweat was like drops of blood. And then he says, but not my will, but yours be done. So what does Jesus pray at maybe the most agonizing point of his life to that point? He says, thy will be done. And Jesus says, Father, our Father, good and gracious Father, I'm not sure about this. I'd like to find another way. Is there some other sort of plan we can do? But you are my Father, my good and gracious, and I trust you with everything. Your will be done. And when Jesus prays that, and when Jesus lives, you know what it leads to. Jesus saying, thy will be done, leads to armed guards coming pretty soon and arresting him illegally, putting him on this overnight sham trial and beating him and whipping him and executing him and dying. Yet because Jesus lived out this prayer, that is life to you and me. Because Jesus lived it out, said, thy will be done, and went to the cross, you are forgiven, you are freed, you are set free. And you can trust our Father, and you can pray, thy will be done. In your bulletin, you should have gotten, you got cards last week, and I gave you cards again this week. And I want you to write something again. And yes, it's a prayer. You might have to share some pencils. But I want you to write down what is something that you, in your own life, would like to pray, thy will be done about. Could be something similar to what you wrote last week when we talked about our Father. Could be something different. What's something that you've been wrestling with, struggling with, praying with, and when we talk about Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer, and we say, thy will be done, okay, God, I'm not going to say my will be done anymore. I'm going to say thy will be done. Write that down. And we're going to keep filling our prayer bowl. See, the will of God is good, even if it's confusing, even if it's we can't understand it. And so we say, thy will be done. And so whatever it is in your life, and here, pass them to the center, and I'll come down. And we'll keep filling up the prayer bowl and putting it on the altar. And if you're still writing, that's okay. That's why I leave it on the altar, so you can come up another time and put it in if you want. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to be your children, and you do it at the expense of your own Son, who lived and died and rose for us. And you make us your children in baptism, and you promise your Spirit to live in us and help us to live as dear children. And as we live as dear children, show us what it means to pray and live, thy will be done. And we know that as we write our prayers and pray our prayers, we have fears as well. And our fears are real, and our faith is real. And we pray that whatever's in this prayer bowl, that you would answer out of your goodness, out of your mercy, and that we would see and know that your will is good. Thank you for gathering us today around your word. Thank you for all the people that we bring in these doors with in our hearts and minds. And God, if there's prayers that we need to speak out loud or in our hearts, hear our prayers now.